Don't look back before you go. Eyes forward. Choices to make. Dreams to realize. Don't look back before you go. Know the truth. Learn to let go. Don't look back before you go. Before you leave me.
Hello. Testing. Testing. This is the triumphant return of Scooter Radio with me, Jack McRobert, and my long-term partner, not in that way.
Kieran Budge.
Yeah. So we've been away for a while. You've been busy working abroad.
Yeah.
Going back and forth.
Yeah, life's
been going on. What's been going on?
A lot of things have happened, actually. I don't know, life's just kind of got in the way.
Yeah.
I guess that's happened. That kind of happens when you're adulting.
Yeah, when was our last video when we said we were going to commit and do every week?
That was in August, so this is our first one back since then. And it's, I thought it was a good one to come back on because we're kind of coming full circle. When we started this in April or May, I think it was, we began with The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the driving force behind Scooter Radio was this film, so I thought it was adequate that we return. For the review of Rise of Skywalker, and it's interesting to come back to this one because we had like very different views on this film. You were on one end of the spectrum, I was on the other. So we should probably go into our initial reactions first. Obviously, we were not a fan of the sequel trilogy heading into this. I think it's fair to say.
Yes.
So you liked The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Hated The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
I was pretty much on the same boat, although I didn't like Force Awakens as much as you did, just because I thought it was kind of like a shameless remake of A New Hope. But yeah, we were very worried about going into this film. We both had fears and concerns.
Yeah.
Coming off the heels of The Last Jedi. So we'll start with your initial reaction.
Really? Okay.
What did you think when the credits rolled?
Well, beforehand, I'd like to say I thought, at first, I sort of dismissed it, and I thought The Force Awakens is going to be, like, my favourite one. And then as we started to discuss it more and more, I sort of, my faith in it grew, and I sort of started getting more excited. And I didn't know what to expect. And
I
was so disappointed at the end. Yeah, Rise of Skywalker. The build-up to it and everything. But, I think it was, I'd go as far as saying it's the most offensive Star Wars film I've ever seen.
What?
Like, to the thing, yeah.
Even more than The Last Jedi?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Purely because of the story. Because, because as we've discussed, and as I will say, like, this is pretty much, like, a fact, and that I'd be surprised if anyone disagreed. Like, I'm not saying I'm a Star Wars, like, fanatic, but, I mean, I'm pretty sure most people would agree. The main story is Anakin Skywalker is the chosen one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the prophecy says he was to destroy the Sith and bring balance to the Force, and anything other than that is wrong. And I mean, the reason why I think The Force Awakens is now my favourite, because ignorance is bliss, And it was like, this is the first one. There's two more to come. We don't know what's coming. Whilst I don't know what's coming, I'm happy with that first one.
It was a clean slate, wasn't
yeah,
it? It was
yeah,
fresh.
Yeah, yeah. And as I said, ignorance was bliss. Didn't know what was coming. So it's like, now we can look back at it and be
and
like...
And neither did the filmmakers. They didn't know what was coming either.
No. And I mean, and this one, what I mean by this one is like the most offensive film out of all of them to the whole saga is the fact that Anakin Skywalker was meant to destroy the Sith, and I wouldn't class him as a Sith, even though he's most likely known like for Darth Vader rather than Anakin Skywalker. But he was a Jedi. He was good. He was meant to destroy the Sith, and he did. And to have a spoiler alert, to have a Palpatine destroy the Sith, destroy Palpatine, to have Palpatine destroy Palpatine, that's offensive. That's like. That's horrendous. Like, ending it on that, like, putting a lid on the whole Star Wars story, episodes 1 to 9, and going, you know, nah, forget what Anakin did. This is my story now. A Palpatine is going to destroy the Sith. Like, how ridiculous does that sound?
I mean, I completely get you. Like,
yeah.
So I'll go into my initial thoughts, and then I'll kind of meet your views. When it ended, I actually shocked myself, because like in the
electric shocks through
in the retrospective, I had the same views as you. I was like, no, Star Wars is the tragedy of Darth Vader / Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
And I was even going to the extent of, you know, almost kind of banishing these sequels from memory and just saying that they don't exist.
Yeah.
Because 1 through 6 did wrap it up very nicely. However, I was shocked to find that when this film ended, I was profoundly moved, and I have to say I loved it. And you were quite shocked that I ranked this just under the original trilogy. So this is my fourth favourite Star Wars film.
I can't believe you put the word love and this, though. Like, when
yeah.
I think we both love nostalgia.
And that's a very...
And I always want us to be like on the same level of understanding with nostalgia, but you seem to have gone into the clouds and been like blinded by it, like just because we heard Liam Neeson's voice and stuff. It's like the nostalgia in it doesn't make good, and like that's going to the dark side. Going to the dark side is saying, you know, oh, actually, like The Last Jedi wasn't that bad because like Yoda was in it, and it's like no. It's overall shit. That doesn't, you know, don't get blinded by that. And that's why I would advise people in this as well. Like, the nostalgia was lovely, but look at the big picture. The bigger picture is a Palpatine destroyed the Sith.
Okay, so let me go on that talk. So,
go.
It wasn't just nostalgia. I mean, the nostalgia did play a big part.
Yeah.
This film was fan service.
Yeah.
Shameful fan service it was. But
it had to be, didn't it?
It had to be
yeah.
because of what The Last Jedi was. And when it was all said and done, I actually didn't think it did Anakin Skywalker a huge disservice.
Really?
Yeah, I don't feel like Rey is the chosen one, despite her destroying Palpatine. I think Anakin did fulfill his prophecy. He did destroy the Sith and bring balance to the Force.
Yeah.
But with the event of this film now, it was only for a certain amount of time that he brought balance. Which actually I'm okay with, because you can't bring balance forever. The scales are going to be tipped again.
Yeah.
And I don't mind it being Palpatine coming back, because there was a very clear breadcrumb trail, if you like, from Revenge of the Sith, which set up the fact that he could survive death.
Yeah.
And he was obsessed with cheating death. And so I think that paved the way for a return in 9. And I didn't think that it, you know, it did that much. The only thing is it kind of means that he outsmarted Vader.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing. That's the only kind of thing that makes Anakin look a bit stupid. But aside from that, I don't think he did his job and he redeemed himself. That was the main thing, that he redeemed himself to save his son. And that wasn't tarnished in any way. With the event of this film, would you agree?
I think I see your point with like Palpatine. Like from that point of view, like if we home in on Palpatine and his sort of store backstory, he was obsessed with cheating death.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's acceptable for him to come back. But like divorce myself from like Anakin Skywalker. I mean, for me, he is like, he's just the center of it all. I mean, Luke Skywalker was like the purest of like characters.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, you kind of, in like episodes 4, 5, and 6, you kind of got lost in him and thought, like, you know, kind of forgot about Anakin in a way, didn't you? Like, he was the one to make his father sort of see the light.
He was just a catalyst, really, when you look at it in the grand scheme of things. But that's changed now. So this is what episode 9 has done for me. It's made it less about the tragedy of Anakin Skywalker and Darth Vader. Now it's become the Skywalker saga with the event of this film.
I completely accept that new enemies come along, because otherwise Disney aren't going to make any money unless they bring some new people in, characters in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fine with, like, for me, that's the story. Anakin has to destroy the Sith. He has to destroy Palpatine. If Palpatine comes back, like, I appreciate your argument, but if Palpatine comes back, it's like Anakin, that dismisses it. Like you said, I don't think it discredited what he did too much, but I think it's so clear for me in my head. It's like black and white. If Palpatine is there and in the film, in person, whatever the hell form he was in, that dismisses the other films. I don't know how you can see it in any other way other than the first 6 just dismissed as soon as you see him come in.
You know what, I do completely see your argument, by the way. I actually agree with what you're saying. I'm just saying this kind of did enough to sway me. Just because of the fact of how he came back. It wasn't really explained, but it was implied how he came back, because the film starts out with, obviously, Kylo Ren finding
the way
his corpse, essentially. It was like a living corpse.
Yeah.
And he just says that, you know, the dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities, some consider to be unnatural. So it kind of implied that he uses Plagueis' technique to bring himself back.
That bit was good, because that's what he says to Anakin in Revenge of the Sith.
Exactly. So it's almost like it was set up for this to happen, when you look. I mean, it clearly wasn't, but it's been retconned in a way where it makes sense.
Yeah.
And I just feel that... And he did have a lot of damage done to him. I mean, the guy was blind. He looked like death. He was missing fingers. He was on life support. So Anakin did do a great amount of damage to him.
He was on life support. But what was he? Was he alive, or was it just the spirit in him? But then, because
that's the thing. We don't know.
Yeah, he didn't essentially come back to life.
No.
Until he absorbed the life from Rey and Kylo Ren.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think you shouldn't have brought Palpatine back. I'm absolutely fine with like bringing out new Star Wars films, and you know, bring out a new. I think they should have just like, you know, finished the Sith and been like, right, the Sith was like a legend from the other films. The Sith have been destroyed. That's it. Like, no one's in. You know, the First Order. That's fine. Like, make Kylo Ren. I don't know if Palpatine wasn't in it. I don't know what else they would have done, because I think I can't see Kylo Ren any other way now than a wimp, if you like. Mm-hmm. How people first saw Hayden Christensen, I guess. Yeah. Like a moany little child, man-child. But,
I mean, there's one other way you could have gone, which was bring in Darth Plagueis.
Yeah.
But because of what Rian Johnson did in The Last Jedi, it was, now it got too ridiculous to then say, oh, Snoke was Plagueis, and he got killed by his apprentice, two of his apprentices. So it would have just made that character look stupid as well. So I think Palpatine probably was the right way to go with how The Last Jedi ended.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. This film, I think, the failings of this film, if you want to call them failings, are simply down to Rian Johnson and the stupid choices that he made.
Yeah.
I actually think JJ did a really admirable job with this. Like, how the hell, like... Because he had to wrap up not only 9 films, but undo the mess of The Last Jedi.
Yeah, yeah.
And considering that, that's not an easy feat.
He had a good job on his hands, didn't he? Yeah.
And for me, he did it. He did much better than what I could have expected, and I actually ended up loving it in the end. But yeah, I totally see your argument about how this can destroy Anakin's legacy, and it just feels like an unnecessary extension, if that makes sense. I get that, but I feel like it did enough, and the fact is, in this, there was more of a focus, I felt, on Luke and Leia. They became more pivotal, even though they only had a few scenes each. I felt like they became more pivotal to the overall Skywalker story now.
Yeah.
So now it's not just about Anakin. Now it's about Luke and Leia as well. and also Palpatine in a sense, and how he was defeated by his own bloodline, which is kind of ironic.
It kind of makes it the story all about Palpatine, like how it's ended, doesn't it, actually?
Yeah, almost. But the prequels were about him too, as well, in a sense. Mm. So it's kind of... And I love how it's kind of like the granddaughter of Palpatine and the grandson of Anakin were the ones to take him down. Yeah. I do like that. You know, there was that shot of them both standing up to him with the lightsabers drawn, and they were standing in front of him ready to take him down?
Yeah.
I wanted to, like, fist pump. That's another thing. This film made me, like, want to just fist pump several times, and a film hasn't done that in a long time for me. So for that, I give credit. What I was going to say is, you were saying about Anakin's no longer the chosen one. I assume you felt that that had been passed on to Rey now because of how it ended?
Yeah.
Is that
because,
what you felt?
Yeah, because the pinnacle of evil, if you like, in Star Wars appears to be Palpatine, doesn't it? Like, there's no sort of darker, bigger force out there. I guess Plagueis got killed by Palpatine, so that automatically hands it over to him, doesn't it? Like,
yeah, I mean, Plagueis was this was all his design. Palpatine just hijacked it in Episode One.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. But I mean, what I was going to say about where I was kind of leading this was that with the Chosen One thing about Rey being the Chosen One,
yeah,
I thought it was very clear that she wasn't
really,
because she didn't beat Palpatine on her own.
No.
All those Jedi, so there's one point in the film where she's knocked out. Ben's been tossed aside by this point. And you start hearing voices of all the Jedi. She's like, she's quite delirious at this point. She's just looking up to the stars and saying, be with me, be with me. You hear Anakin, Mace Windu, Yoda, Luke Skywalker, Qui-Gon Jinn, and a few others from, I think, the Clone Wars TV series. And they're all essentially saying that they stand with her, they're behind her, they're in her. And I feel like she uses the power of all the Jedi to beat him, rather it just being down to herself.
Yeah.
So in that way, that kind of invalidates the argument that she is the Chosen One, because she didn't do it alone. She had to have Anakin within her to do it, as well as all the other Jedi we've seen. So that's what kind of saved it for me. Had she done it on her own, and beaten him like she's beaten every other person in this trilogy, I would have hated it.
Yeah.
But the way they did it, I felt that it was done the right way.
Yeah.
I just wish we had seen Anakin's ghost. That's the only drawback I have, is I wish we'd seen him. But we heard his voice. He spoke three times, actually, in the thing. He spoke the most, so I was happy with that. You can tell clearly that it was him. And he even says, there's a line where he says, Rey, bring back the balance as I once did. So that's kind of saying that Anakin did bring balance. It's just that, you know, Palpatine came back and outsmarted him through this dark Sith magic that he was warning Anakin, as I once did.
They're saying, like, as I once did, again, it's like, I can't accept that in my brain, that, again, what he did was for nothing. It's like, you know, you achieve that then, and then as times, years have gone by, you know, he's come back again, and I just like the idea of it just ending there. He, you know, he brought peace to the galaxy, and that was that. And I think JJ did a fantastic job, because I was a massive fan of The Force Awakens, but I just felt, if you watch The Force Awakens, that seems to be going in, like, a much more promising direction. Like, I like, Kylo Ren was, like, so much better. Even, do you know what? Even when he took his helmet off, it was still better than who he's become. Because just how it started, that was how it should have been for me.
I agree in the first half, how he was.
And I feel like I'm being, like, extremely negative here. But I think it's true, so therefore I apologise to anyone for sort of just poo-pooing Star Wars, if you like, and dismissing it. But I think at the end of the day, unfortunately, I didn't want this to happen, but unfortunately, this trilogy was a waste of time in the end, because it was just fucked over by the second one. It's, you know, unless you're going to take away the second, The Last Jedi, and do it again, you've only got one more space to sort of rectify what you've done. And I think JJ did the best that he could. I don't think we could have, realistically, having only one film left to sort it all out, I don't think he could have done anything more. I think, unfortunately, it was just destroyed. And I think I think he did the best he could, but I think it's so sad. He did the best he could, but the film was still poor, in my opinion, in the sense that they had to rush everything. Like, if they made it, like, how long was it? Like, 2.5 hours?
It's about 2.5 hours, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if it was 3 hours, then, which I don't know why they didn't do, maybe, then maybe they could have put more in, because they rushed it. As soon as it kicked off, it's like, the opening sort of credits bit is just thrown at us. It's like, here you go, here's the story, audience, accept that. It's like Emperor Palpatine has
sent out a broadcast of revenge, and
sent out a broadcast from, like, WhatsApp group saying, like, I'm back, bitches. And I just think, like, you know, we don't have enough time. They try and shove so much at you, so you don't have enough time to think and say, hang on a minute, that's stupid. Like, how is Palpatine back? No, don't worry about that. Don't worry about it. Anyway, here's Kylo Ren. And he's like, and then they try and fit so much in. Like, Palpatine's like, I made, like, from the last one, we're thinking, who the fuck was Snoke? And then it's like, in the first 5 minutes, it's like, quickly, Palpatine, I made Snoke. And it's like, okay, then that's bullshit, but okay. And then they just keep feeding us with just like, you know, this is the answer to why that fucked up. This is the answer. And it's just like, it was too much.
No, I get you. I can see why you would have that opinion of it. For me, I wasn't actually that bothered by it. The Snoke thing is a bit lazy, but I knew that was going to happen anyway.
Still, what was the point in him? Even if you did, even if you did make him, like, what?
He was a contingency. I think he knew Darth Vader was going to overthrow him, or may potentially overthrow him. So Snoke was created as a contingency in the outer regions.
So Snoke was alive when...
Yeah, so I think Palpatine had actually created Snoke maybe even before Episode 1, around the time that Plagueis probably created Anakin. So I think Palpatine used Snoke as a contingency, which kind of makes sense, because that explains how the First Order got all the weaponry and all the ships and were just as organized as the Empire. Because that's one thing I hate about The Force Awakens. When I was watching it, because they were so, like, advanced, these guys. And I was like, this is supposed to be, like, a splinter group after the fall of the Empire.
Mm.
And I was like, how did they get all of this stuff? It was like the original three just didn't matter, because what was the point of what Luke, Leia, and Han Solo were fighting for?
Mm.
But now, with Palpatine being behind all of it,
it
gives it a validity now.
I kind of felt as well like it should be one or the other, in the sense that, like, I was thinking, actually, like, Anakin maybe should have come from, like, Palpatine. I kind of was thinking, should they have made, like, Plagueis make Rey as well? Or I didn't really like the idea that it was, even though Anakin was sort of created from nothing, as opposed to Rey coming from, like, family, like, biologically. I kind of wondered if, like, it would have been better if Anakin was made by Palpatine, or they were both made by Plagueis, but because is that even canon anymore? The Plagueis book isn't, is it? I think they dismissed it all. And
that's dismissed. Plagueis is obviously still canon because he is spoken about in Revenge of the Sith, but I saw something actually just today. One of the creative directors of Lucasfilm was saying that Palpatine didn't create Anakin, because there was a panel in one of the comics where I think Shmi was standing there. And you had Palpatine behind her doing some sort of, like, weird midichlorian shit.
Really?
Yeah. So there's that. Go look that up. That's out there. But I heard today that apparently that was just in Anakin's head. Okay. And George Lucas never wants it revealed who created Anakin. He wants it to remain a mystery.
Really?
Yeah. So we'll never find out. But I'd like to assume it was Plagueis.
Yeah.
Because Palpatine tells us that he has the ability to create life from midichlorians.
Yeah.
So it'd have been nice if it did end with Plagueis, because it would have brought the whole story full circle. But I guess Ryan fucked that up, because I guarantee you that's who Snoke was. There's no question about it. Had JJ carried on, Snoke would have been Plagueis.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. There's no doubt in my mind.
I don't. You know what? I think I just can't accept any of this, I think. You're like the light and I'm the dark in this, in that you're, like, very positive.
Or maybe I'm the dark and you're the light.
No,
the thing is, everyone's split about this film.
But you're being very positive. You're being very positive about it. I kind of feel like, now I feel like it was just a waste of time and that's it. Like,
fair enough.
I'm just dismissive of all of it. I just think, no matter what you can say to me, I think, unfortunately, it was a waste of time, but, you know, at least Disney got their money they wanted or whatever. Because I think even if Snoke became Plagueis, I kind of think I might not have accepted that, because I was under the impression that, you know, Plagueis was dead, and then, you know, that would have been, like, very similar to the Palpatine thing, like, oh, Plagueis cheated death or whatever, you know, we thought Palpatine killed him, but, you know, he's cheated death. It's kind of like...
It would have been a similar thing, yeah, but I mean...
I don't know if I would have accepted that either.
So. Yeah, I would have accepted that, I think. But, I mean, I can totally understand where you're coming from. Like, to be honest, this thing is very split down the middle. Like, I can see a lot of people do hate it. A lot of people, I don't even say love it, but like it.
Yeah.
To me, actually, I love this. I'll always be watching this film. Like, even when it comes out, I'll be watching it constantly, I think. But I, because of this film, I kind of hate The Last Jedi even more, if that's possible. And The Force Awakens is kind of, I don't know, that's unnecessary to me now, because it is just A New Hope. So I probably won't watch either of those two, but I will always watch The Rise of Skywalker. That's enough to be the whole trilogy, to be honest.
Yeah.
You could go straight from Return of the Jedi to Rise of Skywalker. You actually could. Palpatine's dead at the end of that film, but oh wait, he's back 30 plus years later.
Yeah.
And you don't need any of the other two.
Yeah, I mean, Ben's journey wasn't really that much of a journey if you put all the three films together, was it?
Cause no. They squeezed it in here. He did his journey in this.
Yeah, exactly. What he did in Force Awakens was kind of irrelevant. And
Last Jedi, and Last even more Jedi, so.
You know, so that's like what I think. That's what I think of it personally. I think
I will say we should probably actually go into the characters themselves now, because I feel there was a lot of improvements in here. We'll go through them.
Hmm. Do you know what? I found the characters boring.
What?
I was actually, like, bored in The Rise of Skywalker. Like, I was actually looking up at the ceiling, just like, I wonder if I can have a quick nap or something.
Oh, my God.
Like, you know when they're, like, that bit where it's, like, they fly now? And they're, like, fighting, they're, like, going along the desert. And it's, like, that just bored me. And I just thought...
See, that felt like OG Star Wars to me. Like, I was getting prequel vibes from that.
I just thought, I'm not interested in this. And Finn, like...
Finn, yeah, I agree.
Do you know what? It was really interesting. And another thing I love about The Force Awakens, like, is Finn's story. It wasn't all, like, Disney were trying to create, like, oh, let's put a new Jedi in Rey, or where does she come from? Let's put a new bad guy in. By the third one, Rey's going to beat that bad guy, and that's going to be it. It was kind of, they sort of started it from another sort of point of view of a stormtrooper as well, and I thought that was really good, actually. But then that went nowhere. That's all I liked Finn for, and then after that Finn was just boring. Like, I really like Oscar Isaac.
Loved him in this,
but so boring.
What? He nearly stole the film. I thought he was like great. It was so funny.
No, Richard E. Grant stole the film.
He was
the best thing about that film. And
one of.
Regardless of, like, the improved acting from the last one, like, yeah, Daisy Ridley was really good.
I thought she was great in this.
She was
no really cringy good. Dialogue, no wooden acting.
She was really good, and you know what? I even liked, like, Adam Driver as well.
Yep.
I like Daisy Ridley and Adam Driver, like, much more than Oscar Isaac and...
Oh, no!
And what's his face?
John Boyega was... I think he's consistently good as an actor. Like, he's always got that same charisma, and he's great, but his character just sucks.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It just goes nowhere. He's the Jar Jar Binks of the sequels.
Kind of, yeah.
Pretty much. Can't do anything. He's useless. Yeah. So he's just running after Rey, who's clearly not interested in him at all.
Yeah.
As we further find out in this. But yeah, this is what I want to say. Daisy Ridley really, really impressed me. Like,
she excelled in it.
She really excelled. Like, she was the heart of this. And, like, there was one scene that really impressed me with her acting was when after she... think she killed Chewbacca.
Mm.
I remember there was that scene and she was telling Finn, like, oh, you don't know what's inside of me, and I saw myself sitting on the Emperor's throne. The look in her eyes there was amazing. Like, that's probably some of the best acting I've seen in Star Wars in a while. Because obviously Star Wars hasn't got the greatest track record of acting.
No.
And I think it's well known that I have hated Adam Driver in these films and Kylo Ren. But the moment he turns... You know, the moment he's impaled by Rey.
Yeah.
And he starts to turn good. I loved him. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I really thought he excelled. I just think he can't play a bad guy. That's what I think it comes down to. Because the moment he turned good, I was with him. And I actually felt a bit bad for him at the end. Like, I felt something, which was pretty impressive considering I spent the last 2.5 films hating the character for the wrong reasons.
You know the leak we were discussing, though? I thought you read all of it, because I read all of it, and everything that happened in the film, I read in the leak about, like, Kylo Ren, like, dying at the end.
Oh, I read that, but I didn't know about the Han Solo thing.
Didn't you?
No. And that was another great scene when Han Solo appears.
It was like a mirror of The Force Awakens, wasn't it? Yeah.
But this time, beautifully acted. Because in The Force Awakens, I think Adam Driver's performance in that scene was really, really cringeworthy.
Yeah.
But here, he actually nearly got a tear out of me.
Really?
I was really impressed, yeah. And I really like Ben Solo, actually. I think he's... I completely bought into him when he was a nice guy. He just... Yeah. He can't play, and they tried again damage control with this one. They tried to make him really powerful in the beginning of this, in like the first half.
Yeah.
But I'm like, too little, too late. There is no dignity to this guy now after the last two.
And just like, why? What's the point in having the mask on again?
Oh fuck! That's off?
Like, what? Was
yeah.
Because I, like, if he was going through the forest in the beginning, slaughtering people with his mask on, it would have been so much better.
It would have been.
Again, it was too late because he's smashed it up from a tantrum in the last one. And
we've seen him more without it than with it on in this trilogy.
I think that's not, you know, what do you want? Do you want us to take him seriously as a bad guy? Yeah, okay, then we need more than just him slaughtering someone with his normal face.
And then he put his mask back together.
Yeah.
For what reason, I don't know.
I think the funny little science lab put it together, didn't they?
It was like some chimpanzee or something putting it together. I was like, what the... Because they said, JJ was like, oh, it's like a religious experience when he gets his mask put back together.
Yeah.
And it's like him and the Knights of Ren standing around awkwardly while a chimpanzee glues his mask back together. I was like, what the hell is this? And then he kept taking it off. He took it off twice after that, I think. And I was like, well, what was the point in you doing it?
I quite liked the Knights of Ren, actually, but I thought
they were pretty lame.
I thought the Knights of Ren were all gearing towards what Kylo Ren wanted, basically, to become like live in the shadows of like the Sith.
Mm.
But they had like pretty lame weapons.
Yeah, and he killed him off, didn't he, at the end, just before they were guarding Palpatine's throne room.
Yeah.
Big shock. I thought Ian McDiarmid was amazing in this as the Emperor, as he always is.
Yeah,
it's probably one of his best performances as a character, and he was genuinely nightmare fuel in this.
Mm.
I've never found the Emperor properly scary before, other than Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
In the prequels, he was kind of goofy. But here, like, there's some real genuine horror from him here.
Yeah, I love the haunting scenes. Like, that was, like, all I really liked.
Yeah.
But it's...
And there's this, like, Sith army that he has that are chanting. Like, he's doing this ritual, like, telling Rey to, like, strike him down.
Yeah.
And they're all chanting along with him, and I thought it was really, really creepy, and I was like, this is what I want.
Yeah.
There was a genuine threat there.
Yeah.
And we know he's a genuine threat as well after all the stuff he's done. I thought the fleet of Star Destroyers was a bit lazy, but you got to have something there at the end for the Resistance to do.
He wanted her to strike him down, didn't he?
Yeah, so his essence would pass into her, and she'd become Empress Palpatine.
Yeah. See, that's not right, is it?
I don't know. I liked it. I like the fact that she came from
Palpatine.
I like the fact that she came from a bloodline which is known for evil, but she chose to be good and adopt the Skywalker name at the end.
See, that's offensive as well. It's like,
Rey
Skywalker, and it's like, you have just stood right in front of, like, Hayden Christensen, like, sat him down, pulled down your trousers, and took a shit on his face by calling yourself a Skywalker. They're like, I'm biologically a part... No, but do you know what? Listen, her journey was lovely. Like, that, when you put it into perspective like that, like, she comes from this bloodline, and she's like evil, similar to like Harry Potter. Like, he's got a bit of evil in him, and he chooses good. So I like that. But again, Harry Potter was the chosen one, and he did it.
She's not the chosen one.
No, I know, and I know she's maybe not supposed to be, and you don't think she's. But I can only see it like this, like tunnel vision, just like the Sith, who destroys the Sith, whoever destroys the Sith. I know she's not, because she had Liam Neeson whispering sweet nothings in her ear.
But that's what let it slide. And you know what? That end scene as well. That end scene was amazing. Like, that is one of my favorite scenes in Star Wars now.
Binary sunset ending.
Where she, even the bit before that, where she goes to the homestead. And she slides down the hill,
like she did in The Force Awakens. And, like, they have, like, the Rey's theme in the background.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's great, that's great.
And then she buries Luke, well, Anakin's and Leia's lightsaber with Shmi Skywalker. Like, that is... And then she sees, Luke and Leia as Force ghosts watching on.
But what's the thought process behind that from, like, JJ? Just, like, you're going to bury the lightsabers, so...
You know what that was?
I'm gonna call myself a Skywalker. I want to have my own identity here. I've made my own Fisher Price yellow lightsaber.
The yellow lightsaber, actually, that signifies balance. So I think it's red and green together.
Yeah.
And that signifies balance. So I don't actually think she's gonna be a fully fledged Jedi.
I don't think red and green makes yellow.
Does it not? What makes yellow?
I don't know, people are going to be shouting it. Like,
probably. Maybe just reply in the comments, if you know. But, yeah, it's supposed to mean, like...
If you're wrong, then I apologise. I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
But I'm going to find out what colours make yellow.
Or red and blue. Either one. I thought that was really poetic. And I love the theme of identity. How they choose to be people. Choose to be who they want.
Yeah.
So Rey chose to be a Skywalker over a Palpatine. Poe chose to be a general over a Spice Runner or whatever he was.
Mm.
Finn chose to be, I don't know what he was in the Resistance, but he chose that over being a Stormtrooper.
Mm.
So they all... I think the theme of this film was identity. And that you can choose your families. You don't have to be defined by your bloodline. That's what I really like.
Yeah.
And the fact that it showed that all the Skywalkers are really inherently good. Ben turned back to the light just as Anakin did.
Yeah.
So, I thought it brought everything around beautifully.
Yeah.
I know you don't agree. I'm just, saying this to you and you've got, a dead expression in your face, but...
That's my normal face.
I mean...
I can
see your point of view, though.
I want to see the good in it, and, if we break it down, it's not your bloodline, it's, what you choose in the end.
Yeah.
It's the, it's not, what's that Batman quote? It's not relevant, but it's not...
It's not who you are underneath, but what you do that it defines you.
Yeah.
That's actually a good way of summing it up, yeah.
That's what I was thinking, I think that's great, but...
You just love Anakin too much, don't you?
Yeah.
And again, I don't think it did him a huge disservice. He brought balance.
I'm in two minds because I think The Rise of Skywalker as a separate film on its own.
That's how I look at it. I do not look at The Last Jedi.
Is better than Attack of the Clones.
Oh, 100%.
But I prefer Attack of the Clones because it's about Anakin.
I'm actually shocked that you were bored during this because... Not only does this go at breakneck speed, which it does, you're right, it wants them from the moment it starts, it does not stop until the end. But I felt this was an old school Star Wars adventure. This reminded me a lot of the original trilogy, the jokes and the banter between Poe, Rey, and Finn. There wasn't
too much like in The Last Jedi was.
Black humor,
And Hux being the...
Oh my god! Okay, spy. That shocked me. Where the hell did that come from?
What was the point of that?
Do you know what? I heard that rumor 2 years ago. Shortly after The Last Jedi came out, I heard that Hux was going to be a spy for the Resistance. And I thought it was so ridiculous. And it was so soon after The Last Jedi. I was like, there's no way they're going to do that.
Hmm.
And then they actually did it in this. And then they killed him off.
Yeah.
Quite unceremoniously. But I didn't mind that. That was interesting. One other thing I forgot. I've always wanted to see this, and I always thought this is where the sequel trilogy should go after Return of the Jedi. It's the logical way to go after it ended, which is seeing Luke training Leia. And we got to see some of that.
Yeah, that was lovely.
That was beautiful.
That was clever.
And the CGI, the de-aging on their faces was pretty good. Normally it's done horrendously, and you can tell, but this was done genuinely well.
Mm.
I think this is the best work that ILM have ever done, the special effects.
Yeah.
I think... really exceeded. It was a beautiful looking film.
Yeah,
I thought.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So I'm quite surprised you were bored by it.
Because as just as time went on, it was sort of like it was great, but it was sucking like something from me,
the life force.
I could feel something sucking me beneath the chair. No, I could feel like no. It was like. I was trying. I was trying to get into it, but yeah, I just felt something draining from me. And
I think what you're referring to is someone else said this. One of my mates, Luke, said this, that it felt like it had no heart.
I was like longing for something that I didn't really know, because I don't know what could have made it good and the trilogy worth it for me now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what it was that I was like I was longing for, and I just wasn't getting it, and only having stuff taken away from me for that film. I don't know why or what. And I was just it was just naturally, it was just a natural drain throughout the film. And I was just like, just confirming to me as like minutes went by, like, no, this doesn't have anything to offer to me actually.
And even the nostalgia stuff didn't, because this was filled with fan service, like using the Imperial March, the Death Star, some old musical cues from the previous film, Luke being Luke, finally, and him raising that X-Wing, like, you know, an echo of The Empire Strikes Back. There's a lot in there. I'm surprised that didn't kind of pull you in. There was a lot of, like, you know, calling back to the past, which we both love.
Yeah. It, you know what? It just made me realise, like, what kind of films and stories that I like, ones that I can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we're talking about Star Wars, so I do apologise for this, but just quickly, like, I like a character study, I've realised. So, like, that's why Attack of the Clones, as much as people will be like, you're chatting absolute shit, that's why the Attack of the Clones is more important to me. I'm picking on Attack of the Clones because a lot of people pick on it. And I think 3/4 of the Attack of the Clones is shite, maybe. And, you know, most of, like, Phantom Menace, apart from Duel of Fates, is crap. But for me, Star Wars is about Anakin and the character study of Anakin, and that's what I love. Like, that's what I loved about Attack of the Clones, and that's what I love about, like, why I love Joker as well. Mm. It was just, like, a build-up character study of seeing these defining moments as why someone is being driven to this. Mm. Like, how it's kind of, you can take it in everyday life, and I can, like, relate to that, and that's why, like, I'm not, like, interested in anything else. And that's why, you know, it's, if you go back and watch, like, that scene in Attack of the Clones when his mum dies and he's, like, holding his dead mum in his hands, you just think, you know, this is, Star Wars is about Anakin, and this is contributing to why he goes to the dark side. He's thrown, had so much stuff thrown at him, and it's just a beautiful story as it is, in my opinion.
Yeah. See, I feel quite embarrassed because I was saying the exact same things you were in our retrospective that we did when we first started this, and I feel like I kind of sold out.
Yeah.
But
I think it's a great film by itself. I think it is.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's like,
I can't divorce myself from just Anakin's story.
Yeah, I think that's the make or break for me was the fact that Rey couldn't beat Palpatine.
Without Ren couldn't beat Rey.
Yeah. Oh, he almost did until that's another point. Leia died in this. I didn't quite get what happened, because she basically just reached out to him through the Force and died.
She basically put her last, well, not her last energy, because we never knew if she was on death's door or not.
Yeah, so that was kind of unclear. But they both died together, so I think she had, like, she laid down, didn't she? And then it's only when Ben dies at the end of the film and turns into a Force ghost that she disappears as well.
Yeah.
What did you think of the Reylo thing?
There's a lot of Reylo fans out there, aren't there?
There are. I was fine with it. I felt like it gave him something to do.
Yeah.
Because the guy didn't have anything to do. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But
I just never knew who any of these characters were. Like, Rey never even felt like a Jedi to me. Like, when she did, like, the Force, like, the mind trick thing. Like, I felt like by the end of The Last Jedi, it was never established and confirmed that she was a Jedi. And I feel
She was never trained, was she?
And I feel like the same after this. So I never knew who Rey was. And Kylo Ren never really knew who he was, because it was always mixed stuff going on. So that just, like, hit the, like, that was just, like, the the icing, the cherry on the cake, really, when they kissed. I just thought, like, do you know what? It can't get any worse from now. And actually, that's not the worst thing that's happened in this film. So I'm cool. I'm fine.
And, you know, to me, I felt like they've been building up to that. Them two getting together from the very beginning. Yeah, there was hints of it in Force Awakens, definitely in The Last Jedi. So that's the only consistent thing in this whole trilogy.
They had this connection, and despite her telling him to put his shirt back on, like, when he was all, like...
But that's what it was doing. It was kind of building up that.
Boiled up and half naked. She was, like, she couldn't look away, even though she was telling him to put his shirt back on.
Another reason why I like this film as well, it did away with all the SJW crap. This time I felt Rey wasn't a Mary Sue. She actually had struggle, and she had obstacles to overcome, like, internally, mostly. There was less of that agenda pushing in this, which was... kind of overtook The Last Jedi and The Force Awakens. So I was very happy about that. And she died at the end for a bit. So it's not like she effortlessly defeated Palpatine. No, she had to have all the Jedi helping her.
Yeah.
And she did die for a second there. Until Ben obviously brought her back by using the Force Heal, which I've heard a lot of people complain about. But Force Heal has always been a thing in the Star Wars games and in the lore, so I'm not really sure why people are hating on that.
Because kind of where do you draw the line? Like, can you...
But it already existed. So I'm okay with it. It's if they did something wild, like, I think the Force projection was a bit too far, but again, that's existed before in Star Wars lore, so...
You could just do it with anything, though. Like, Vader could have stabbed through Alec Guinness, walked off, and then Luke could have come along and been like, let me just touch your, like, hole in you here.
But he disappeared, didn't he, Obi-Wan, straight away?
Yeah, there's different rules that we don't quite understand. Is that, like, the way Leia and Luke disappeared, I guess?
Yeah. There's also something interesting. Do you remember Finn saying to Rey, like, oh, I've got something to tell you?
Oh, yeah, what was that? I forgot that, even.
Well, JJ mentioned in an interview the other day that he was actually going to tell Rey that he's Force-sensitive.
Really?
Yeah, which they were kind of hinting at in the film, because remember he kept saying, I have a feeling. It's just a feeling.
Oh, no, yeah. And Finn sort of delved more into that, into detail in the film as well. He was talking, like, from experience.
Yeah.
Like, he knew, like, he had a knowledge of the Force, and was talking to that other ex-stormtrooper Janna, lady that he met.
Yeah.
He was talking to her and saying, like, she was questioning something, and he was like, it's the Force, it's brought us together or something.
Talking like a Jedi, yeah.
He was talking like he knew about it, and I mean... It's a shame they didn't go more into that, because before we knew Rey was, like, the Force-sensitive one, we didn't really know for sure who she was, did we, until the end of Force Awakens. And when Finn picked up the lightsaber in the end of The Force Awakens, you did wonder, didn't you? You didn't know that it was going to...
And I was very annoyed by that he picked up a lightsaber, because only Jedis hold lightsabers.
And he held his own for a bit
against... someone who's undergone training from Luke Skywalker and Snoke.
Yeah.
Now, this doesn't fully redeem that, but it makes it a bit more excusable that he was able to use a lightsaber and pick one up, at least.
Mm.
But I still think it's inexcusable that he managed to hold off against Kylo Ren. That is bollocks.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it kind of undid a lot of wrongs in both The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, I felt.
Mm.
So for that, I've got to give it credit, and he somehow made it a satisfying ending in some people's eyes.
Hmm.
So for that, I think I've got to hand it to him.
I think we couldn't have asked anything more from the ending. I think the ending was what the fans wanted, really. And, you know, the whole binary sunset bit as well, that was fine.
That music,
yeah.
I feel like it just made Luke and Leia have a more... pivotal role in the overarching story.
Yeah.
Because before, if you look at through 1 through 6, Luke and Leia were just catalysts to Vader coming back from the darkness, whereas now it's more, they're more centralized in this story.
Mm.
So it's more about the Skywalker family rather than just Anakin.
Yeah.
So I was alright with it.
Yeah.
And I don't think it took away from Anakin at all. I just wish he was in it. I would have liked to see him. That's purely just fan service nostalgia reasons. I just wish Hayden had showed up, and he did film scenes which were cut, which kind of sucks, but
yeah, I can't believe that.
Yeah, I think they could have got rid of that Janna character, because she was pointless, really. She was just there to have that conversation with Finn and some weird exchange with Lando at the end, like what was that about?
Yeah, Lando.
There was a weird focus on them at the end, saying like, "Oh, who are you?" And she's like, "I don't know." And he's like, "Well, let's find out."
Yeah.
Is then she related to him?
And they went off into a tent and then just.
Oh. Oh yeah. What do you think of Lando? I was happy with him. He made me smile every time he came on screen.
Yeah, he did. He did the best that he could do. You wouldn't have expected anything more. It was fine. It was a bit more nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have any complaints.
C-3PO, what do you think? In it.
Yeah, bless C-3PO. I don't want to see too much of him, but he has to be in it.
So. He was, and it's nice to see him have an arc after doing nothing for the last two films.
He's been in more films than...
He's been in all of them.
Ian, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been in all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple of new characters in here. Janna we touched on, who I thought was pointless, but there was that Zori Bliss
person
played by Kerry Russell, who was like had something to do with Poe's history. She was pretty cool, and I liked her scenes with Poe.
Yeah,
I
mean that foreign planet they went on, all of that was much better than the casino planet. So oh, yeah. I was worried when I saw animals.
You said, didn't you? You were like, oh my god, oh my god, it's the casino, it's Canto Bight again. And I was
I was scared.
But I said to you at the time, I was like, nah, it's cool, because they're all together. You got Rafe and
if we see any, like, half horse, half dinosaurs, then worry, but...
Yeah, but we were safe. No, this stayed very relevant and very focused, this film.
Hmm.
Whereas The Last Jedi meandered and went off in places we didn't want to go.
That was like its own thing, wasn't it? Like you said, like Rian Johnson just was like, I'm going to do my own thing here as an independent.
Which, as I said to you, I champion that usually. I love like people taking their own independent vision strongly and just kind of giving something a new life. But you can't do that with Star Wars because it's one vision, one story, one mythology.
Hmm.
That's not the place to do it. If he wanted to do that with Batman, I'd say, yeah, go ahead, because I'd love to see him do a challenging kind of Batman story. I love films like that where they have their own independent vision and they want to do something fresh with it. That's great, but you can't do that in Star Wars.
Yeah,
you just can't.
You can't afford to lose a place, can you? Like, that's like 7. It's just, no, 8. It was episode 8, wasn't it? 8 is just like, fucked it all up.
And it's the penultimate film.
You can't afford to do that. You can't afford to. And I can't believe, like, it's, you know, we don't want to talk about The Last Jedi too much, but I still can't believe that they talked it up to be better than The Empire Strikes Back. When I saw that, I had so much expectation for it.
Yeah, and that's what killed it.
Yeah.
And even if they hadn't said that, I'd still be disappointed.
Yeah.
Do you know what that was? That was critics saying that, film critics who aren't really that invested in Star Wars. They're just viewing it as a film. Because if you watch it as a film, it's pretty... That's all right.
Yeah. That's what I feel about this one, though, The Rise of Skywalker. I felt like The Force Awakens was going towards something. And again, maybe that's because of Ignorance is Bliss and I didn't know what was coming. But I felt that was actually gearing towards something big. And then, the last two, for me, are just sort of, like, in a way similar in that they are their own sort of thing. Kind of like Rogue One to me and Solo, like their own little story. I don't think of them as a part of... Star Wars.
You know what's funny, actually, about what you're saying? Well, each film that came out in this trilogy was giving the middle finger to the previous film.
Yeah.
So Last Jedi was essentially just throwing out everything Force Awakens had done.
Yeah.
And The Rise of Skywalker did the same with The Last Jedi.
I think JJ was going in the right direction, wasn't he? Saying, like, you know what, we need some nostalgia. We can't afford to have this. And the end scene of The Force Awakens was, like,
amazing.
Beautiful. It was lovely.
Yeah.
But then to just, Rian Johnson.
Toss it out.
Shat on that, yeah. Just like, Jesus Christ. And when Kylo Ren's like, kill the past if you have to. They've not made, these films weren't made that long after, like, the Star Wars films we know and love. If The Last Jedi came out in 20 years, then you'd be more understanding, like, how different it is. But it's still...
Too close.
It's not. We're still close to home in that sense, but it's like, that was just so far.
I think The Rise of Skywalker is a testament to the fact that Disney and Lucasfilm had no plans when they started out this trilogy. There was no roadmap.
Yeah.
They just made it up as they went along. And in the end, it became a tug and war between two directors, essentially. JJ's trying to pull it one way, Ryan's trying to pull it one way. JJ's all about nostalgia. Ryan was about new ideals and challenges and pushing things in a different direction.
Hmm.
And they just don't go together, especially when that's the middle film of the trilogy.
Yeah.
It's just, It's a mess, but I think Rise of Skywalker on its own, I will continue to watch it, and I actually see it as a valid and worthy ending to the Skywalker saga,
in my opinion. Yeah. But you know what? I've realised that I felt no... The reason I got, like, so bored in The Rise of Skywalker is... You know what? I don't really know why, because I would agree that their performances were better than The Last Jedi, but I just felt no connection, regardless of how good their acting was. I felt no connection with any of the characters.
Mm.
I didn't care about any of the characters. Whereas, like, I still... In defence, like, of The Last Jedi, like, I felt something for Kylo Ren's journey in that.
Mm.
Whereas I felt nothing for no character, not even Rey, in the Rise of Skywalker.
And that's due to The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
So that's what I was saying, like, the failings of this film are all down to Rian Johnson.
Mm.
But yeah, actually one thing I'll say as well, the acting all across the board in this film was really good.
Yeah.
There was not one weak performance, whereas you can't say that about many other Star Wars films. There's always something a bit cringy in terms of the acting, but I thought the performances were really good all across the board. Yeah, I was quite impressed with that. Is there anything else we forgot to mention?
Not that I know of. Not that I can think of. And we can't have dead air for too long.
No. All I will say is...
Let's just do a quick roundup of what happened. So it starts with...
That's going to take ages.
No, we'll just go through it quickly. So Ren goes to the science lab. Ren's like, hello, Palpatine. Palpatine's like, I'm not dead. Let's cause some shit. And then what happens after that? You pick it up from there.
I can't. There's so much happens. This is the problem. It's a very convoluted story.
Yeah.
So I cannot even begin to explain it as fast as the actual film goes. That was an issue.
Lots of the scenes seem like they were from like The Force Awakens as well. Did you find that?
Yeah, same directors. Like, and the comedy landed, I thought. The comedy was...
But like, it was like deleted scenes from the first one that they'd like lazily stuck in this.
Well, that was the Carrie Fisher scenes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But I'd say like, I thought she was seamlessly fit in.
Yeah.
I didn't see any... It didn't seem out of place or anything.
Mm.
So that was really impressive. Again, he did the impossible by including Carrie Fisher in this and making Kerr have a meaningful role.
Mm.
I actually take my hat off to JJ. I hated him, actually, before this film came out. I was not a fan of his, but...
This is like the first review we've done where we sort of end agreeing to disagree sort of thing.
Yeah, I've got to, but I completely understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. I don't blame you for the view you have or that many others have. My brothers aren't, I would say, fans of this either. Yeah. And, yeah, I can totally see why. But for me, it just hit me in the right places. I don't know what to say. I think it was a love letter to the original trilogy, and I kind of...
Yeah.
Even though we grew up with the prequels as they were coming out from 99 onwards, I did see The Empire Strikes Back first. And I was more invested in Luke Skywalker originally.
Hmm.
And this film was a love letter to those films. And I think that's why it got me. I think that's where it got me in.
Yeah. But the bigger picture is, it's not true to Star Wars in how it's like been fulfilled and concluded. Like you could just keep bringing Palpatine back. Like, if they're just... They could stick anything they want.
Mm-hmm.
They just made their own bullshit up. You could stick anything you want. They could make another film, put another opening credits in, like... Do you remember General Grievous and Count Dooku?
Oh, no,
well,
no.
Well, turns out they're not dead.
No, no, I don't think they can do that.
They've done a broadcast thing as well.
Okay, no.
We can't question anything.
No, I disagree, because this is what I was saying, like, the Palpatine thing. There was a foreshadowing of this, especially in Return of the Jedi, because he kept on saying that things are proceeding as he expected.
Hmm.
So there was a kind of a foreshadowing that there was this grand plan of him to come back. He had a contingency.
He was like the god, wasn't he, maneuvering all of this?
Yeah, he's the puppeteer, and it is realistic. He would have a contingency, so he'd have Snoke there to pick up the slack when he fell, if he fell.
Yeah.
And then he also had this thing of what Darth Plagueis taught him, which we find out in Revenge of the Sith. So I think it's all justified. And about him coming back again after this time we saw him die. That's the difference. We didn't see that in Return of the Jedi. It feels like I'm probably making excuses, but I think it's legit. Like, this time we saw him disintegrate.
But there could be still a bit from him, like Cell from Dragon Ball Z.
I don't know. I don't know if it works like that. Because
they can do anything they want, can't they?
They could.
How did he survive? He fell down a hole, and he didn't just fall down that garbage chute, and then he didn't just fall down that and just you see nothing. He fell down that, and there was a big explosion of, like, this is all the evil gone out into the universe now. Wasn't there?
You did see that.
There was a big
poof. Poof of, yeah. Poof.
Wasn't there? There wasn't nothing. There wasn't just like...
No, you're right. There wasn't, but we saw the damage had been done to him. And I don't know, I just felt like... I felt it was conceivable that he could live through that.
Yeah, hit a few coat hangers on the way down. The laundry chute.
I mean, like, I'm fine with shit. I felt like there was a definitive ending here. Like, when he evaporated with that and the whole Sith temple crumbled around him,
His
I felt that was...
The physical form evaporated, but his spirit lives on, Barge.
Yeah, but then so do a lot of other Sith.
Yeah.
So they're, I don't know what happens with Sith after they die.
There's going to be a big afterlife war.
Yeah, which I haven't. But, I was satisfied.
Yeah.
I think what we should do now, just to wrap this up, I think we should... give our ranking of all. We're not going to count Rogue One or Solo because personally, I don't.
No, they're not episodes. They're Star Wars stories. They're only
Yeah. So, yeah. From episode 1 to 9, give your ranking. In order from best to worst.
I think I have it
too, actually.
I don't want to hear yours though, because it's going to offend me. So. Marge looks like he's desperately trying to read without his glasses right now.
Okay, I think
straining.
I think I remember it. All right.
Oh, look, I did it before this. Do you remember when I wrote this and I put it's exactly the same. I put The Rise of Skywalker above The Last Jedi, and you said, "I love how you've already done it before you even see it." That's your ranking.
That's it still.
Yeah.
So let everyone know what it is. Your ranking.
No, I don't want to.
Why?
No, okay. Well, this is boring broadcasting.
No, just do it, we'll end it after this, and they can leave theirs in the comments.
I feel very boring and generic saying this, even though I've met a lot of people who would say Return of the Jedi, but my number one is Empire Strikes Back, which not many people can disagree with.
No.
Return of the Jedi, the second one, because very pivotal sort of moment for Anakin Skywalker, the chosen one. Then Revenge of the Sith. Because there's some funny moments in that. I know it's a bit comical and you can't take it all seriously.
It's a bit camp, isn't it, in places.
But like that Darth Plagueis scene
in the
opera thing and everything, and like just again, just a character study of, you know, his journey to the Darth Plagueis. So that is number 3. Number 4, A New Hope. So, yeah, Alec Guinness, instrumental in that.
Absolutely.
Loved Alec in that. And again, we saw a bit of Vader. But A New Hope was kind of like its own film, wasn't it? It was kind of like if they didn't make any more, they didn't need to make any more after that. No,
that could have been it.
But, so yeah, I'm not a massive fan of A New Hope. Then Attack of the Clones.
Oof!
Just because of, again.
Anakin.
Again, character study, you know. We're seeing the story of Anakin Skywalker. We're seeing the rise and the fall. The rise, you know, he's fallen in love. It's just that his journey, everyone should want to see just moments of his journey. And that's why the film is good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's not supposed to fall in love, but he does. He's just, it's such a tragedy. And that's why I love it. He was rescued from this planet. You know, he was set to like go and save the world, become a Jedi, become a hero, come back, rescue his mum. You know, his mum dies in this one. He's got a scene that that's thrown at him. How are you going to deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
And this film is actually tragic. Attack of the Clones is actually tragic. You know, he finds love, which ends up going tits up.
Yeah.
And his mum, you know, watch it again. I know the stupid gladiators bit at the end.
That's the bit people usually like.
With the giant cockroach and the giant hamsters, stupid.
But, yeah.
Phantom Menace. Phantom Menace, purely because, yeah, Darth Maul's good. Duel of the Fates is good. But, again, Anakin Skywalker's lovely when he's like, you know, I will come back and rescue your mum and everything.
That's a great scene.
He's got to make that tough decision of, you know, leaving.
The seeds of Darth Vader in that scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Again, it's like, you know, he's upset. He misses his mum and stuff. So when Yoda's like, you know, I sense bad things in you, it's because he's still pretty, like, torn. He's not, he never was sort of like, he gave birth to, like, arguably the perfect Jedi in Luke, didn't he?
Yep.
But, like, you'd argue that he never really had that in him, like, the natural instinct of a Jedi. And
yeah.
He couldn't, you know, he wanted Padme. And then what have I done with that? The Force Awakens, because I think that's the best one. And then I think, like, the journey that these characters are going in is great. I like Rey. I liked Finn. I was really interested in, like, Finn's journey. And Poe. Didn't know much about Poe, so that was fine, because he actually annoyed me in the last two.
That hurts.
And the opening scene when Kylo Ren goes down to that planet, that is, like, for me, one of, like, the best overall scenes in, like, the whole trilogy, the latter trilogy, just when you take him so seriously. He's like a frightening new villain. He's brilliant in that opening scene when he kills that old man.
Mm.
And you see, like, Finn as well, when Finn's torn and he's like, I don't want to kill these innocent people. I'm actually a good bloke.
Mm-hmm.
And then, just a reminder came up saying, take my antidepressants, and I haven't got them with me.
Oh, enjoy it.
I'll have one of yours. And then Rise of Skywalker, which people would understand. Well, I hope people would understand why I put Rise of Skywalker there, but
some people I think they will. I think they'll be half and half.
And then The Last Jedi, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So that is my, which took about an hour to explain. What's yours?
Okay, so mine would be The Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
Number one, obviously, not only the best Star Wars film, but the greatest film of all time. Return of the Jedi, after that, because of the reason you mentioned, Anakin's redemption.
Mm.
That was such a, I want to say, relieving moment, if you know what I mean by that. It was just,
I do know what relieving means.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, when he finally fulfills his prophecy, which he still did.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. That's what I love. It's like he turned to the dark side, but in the end, fate, you know, he did. At the end of the day, he killed a lot of people. He did a lot of bad shit. At the end of the day, Palpatine down the laundromat.
And I think that is still intact, even after the Rise of Skywalker. But number three, A New Hope. It looks dated now, and it doesn't hold up as well. But I always look at it in the context of when it was released, and I think it is a fun film. And it's like a modern-day Wizard of Oz, I look at it. Just a fun, innocent adventure.
Yeah.
Number four, The Rise of Skywalker. Which I mentioned in this review here, why I think
ahead
that.
Ahead of Revenge of the Sith.
Ahead of Revenge of the Sith, because
which
I
makes
think,
sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, because Revenge of the Sith, there's a lot holding it back. There's some crap acting, and there's some stupid scenes in there.
Yeah.
But it is very emotional and just really dark, which I love. I loved how far it went with the darkness. Some really, truly shocking moments. Order 66, obviously. The Phantom Menace. Purely because of nostalgia. It is a terrible film. Boring as hell for the most part. But Duel of the Fates is great. And obviously Anakin beginning his journey.
Yeah.
Number seven would be The Force Awakens. Really like the new characters, as you said. Was a bit disappointed that it was just a ripoff of A New Hope. But I let it slide a little bit because it was a new trilogy. And it was kind of coming off the heels of the prequels. So it was kind of reminding people of the older films.
Yeah.
So I kind of forgive
JJ
it there.
I think it was done beautifully. And it wasn't so much like A New Hope in that they took that interesting point of view from
the Stormtrooper.
So it wasn't completely. It
wasn't completely, but
I guess. But there were aspects.
The skeleton of it was, yeah. Number eight would be Attack of the Clones. It is a tough sit for me. Even though it is instrumental to the story of Anakin. I love the scene with him on Tatooine with his mum.
Yeah.
But that's it.
I thought you cared about... I don't really care about bounty hunters, but everyone rants and raves about Jango Fett, who...
He's cool, but he's not enough to save the movie.
No.
And I thought Count Dooku was quite a lousy villain after Darth Maul. I know that's going to piss a few people off.
I love Chris Philly, but yeah, he wasn't...
He was boring.
He wanted Obi-Wan to join him to overthrow the Sith, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
So he wasn't completely, like, a Sith Lord, was he, really? So I understand...
He's a politician. But that's that's kind of, I think, what bogs that movie down as politics and a mystery that doesn't really go anywhere.
He was Jeremy Corbyn. Vote Labour.
Moving on.
Carry on.
And then, yeah, obviously, Last Jedi, which...
I genuinely mean vote Labour. I hope you vote Labour. I hope you voted Labour.
We'll discuss this off air. Okay. But yeah, and finally, The Last Jedi, which was just a disgrace. It had really nice moments, like when Rey is describing the Force and we're seeing all those shots of the planet. And it looked really nice. It was probably the best-looking Star Wars film out of the lot. And it was bold, I'll give it that. I didn't know where it was going as we were watching it. So I give it credit for that. But what it represents, I can't support. It was like the near death of this franchise. So for that, it's last place. Pretty much damaged Luke Skywalker and his legacy. Though this film kind of redeemed it, I think.
Yeah, he was completely different. He was the Luke Skywalker we
love
to expect. Yeah.
And he was basically saying that he was wrong throughout The Last Jedi. So I love that. But yeah, that's my ranking there. So just comment below how you would rank them. And I think the big question is here: do you like The Rise of Skywalker or do you not? And you know, does it validate this trilogy for you, I guess, is the main question to the viewers. But yeah, I think that's it. I think we're all done here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I think next week, because we've been promising this for a while on social media, that we're going to do Joker, but we never got around to doing it.
Yeah.
Because as we were saying at the beginning of this, life just got in the way. But I think we're back going to get back into the grit swing of thing now and kind of release a video hopefully weekly.
Yeah.
So Joker will be the next one.
I think Joker will be an interesting one as well, because the thing you'll get from our review, why our reviews are in some way better than the other ones, is that, you know, after the hype...
Tooting your horn. Yeah.
But it's true, isn't it? A lot, you know, the trailer was incredible, and then after, you know, when you come out of it, you know, you're hyped up and it's like, that was one of the best films I've ever seen. I don't feel the same way I did when I walked out of the cinema at all.
So interesting.
Once you've had time to let the dust settle, if you like, that's where our review will be interesting, you know, talking about it after the hype. So, yeah.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. So look forward to that then.
Yeah.
Because even I don't know what's changed. So, yeah, thanks for joining us again.
Yeah.
And
goodbye.
Yeah.
Okay then. So yeah, please be sure to like our social media pages. We're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. And yeah, if you liked this, give us a thumbs up and subscribe. So it's goodbye from me, Jack McRobert. And
goodbye from me, Kieran Budge. Thanks.